baby. Yes, sir.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents...
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
The Golf Show.
I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Good morning. Welcome to the first installment of the Golf Show for 2017, live on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. It's Masters weekend. Temperatures are going to be in the 60s and the 70s this weekend. So, all of you out there with golf clubs, there's no excuse. It's time to go. It's go time here in Michiana. I'm Darren Pritchett, joined by the greatest co-hosts anybody could have on a golf show in Michiana.
And the most well-paid.
Yeah. I heard we were the highest paid.
You know, that always gets brought up at every first show, but it's normally like 5 minutes in. Oh, but sorry, we're going right to it.
No. Right. Well, just to update everybody, that situation hasn't changed.
Negotiations stalled.
We got to get a new negotiator. It's not working.
Folks, I do want to point out, they are the highest paid golf show talent.
I have to bring my own coffee.
Now can I introduce you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to call them complainers, but the guy's doing all the talking right now. We have John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, and Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn Golf Club. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Always bring a smile on my face when you guys walk in the room.
Always a good time with you, Darren.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm glad you can fit us in your schedule, though. I mean,
no doubt.
Jeez. You
have
to do these vocal exercises as much as you talk. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Frozen 4 2011. I had to take steroids because I lost my voice.
There you go. That doesn't
really?
But ever since, I've been okay.
Good.
I was hoping I was going to be on the phone with you this morning from Chicago.
There you go. Yeah, watch that.
But the hockey team, unfortunately, ran into a pretty good, awesome team, I should say, in Denver. So here we are in studio.
Okay.
Hey, I got to bring it up. Congratulations on your big award that you won this last year. I heard you were recognized as one of the top sports guys in America.
Yeah, I'm not sure who voted on that, but I think they've been fired from their position.
But congratulations.
Well, it was a very nice honor. Yeah. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
We feel somewhat responsible for that, but we didn't get any thank yous.
Yeah, did you mention us in your speech? Or?
It actually went in the envelope with your paycheck.
Oh, excellent. Perfect. Yeah, good.
So perfect.
Apparently, it did not arrive in your mailbox.
Yeah, we'll wait on that, too.
That's anyway, okay.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Thank you. I greatly appreciate it. Well,
did you win any awards?
I have not. No.
Me either. Not a thing.
Not that we can mention here.
In a roundabout way, Mr. Yes. Foster, you could say you won. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get to that in a second.
That's true.
We're going to talk plenty of Masters coming up later on in this edition of the Golf Show, which is brought to you by Blackthorn Golf Club. Right now, the Blackthorn card is only $99 and only at
blackthorngolf.com.
There you go.
You're our sponsor.
Did I pay for that or did I get that?
I want you guys to feel part of the show.
That's awesome.
Turned down the sponsorship opportunity. You must have gone for it.
Well, actually, we're also brought to you by Warren Golf Course.
Oh, there we go. They got to one of my assistants.
Well, you can tell who's the general manager of that golf course.
Yeah, I'm really in control over there.
Oh, jeez.
Surprised they were able to open this morning without me there.
We're also brought to you by Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame.
Wow.
Tee it up where the Irish play, the host of the 2019 U.S. Senior Open Championship, the Warren Golf Course.
Thank you.
Nice marketing tool.
It really is. Yeah. We're going to just beat that to death over the next 3 years.
Absolutely. And I don't blame you.
No, that's one reason we're doing it.
And that's what you won. Rights to host the 2019 U.S. Senior Open Championship. This has all happened since our last show last season. So first off, congratulations. I think you would have to be a very proud individual who's been a part of this golf course for so many years, and now to bring a USGA event to Warren, that's got to be pretty special.
It's been a long time in the making, too. You know, if we go all the way back, the process started back in 2005, really, as far as contacting the USGA, and it's when we started paying our dues. You know, Tim can tell you, when you host a U.S. amateur qualifier, you close your course for the day, you don't get paid Mm-hmm. Anything, you spend extra labor dollars getting the course ready. We did 14 of those things throughout the last 10 to 12 years. And we also hosted the Women's Pub Links in 2010, which is one of their championships. But again, it was a money loser, and that's okay. And then Mr. Warren and Core Crenshaw, a lot of people did some behind-the-scenes lobbying on our behalf. And frankly, the USGA, when they came out the first official time about 3.5-4 years ago, they just fell in love with the golf course. And their motto is, we'll start with the golf course, we make everything else work. And so as a result, yeah, we were able to announce this in October. I think it was Stanford weekend last year. It was a frustrating process. The negotiations took forever. But that's okay. It was worth it in the end. And the USGA is happy. We've got some really unique advantages, I think, over most golf courses. I mean, number one, we're the first public course ever to host a senior open. We're the first collegiate course ever to host a major championship, USGA major championship. A lot of firsts there, but they looked at our, you know, the parking situation. You know, I got White Field, mm-hmm. where the entrance will be over by White Field, 7,000 parking places. We got all the hotel rooms here. You know, we're built to host major events in this area. You know, hence, and the economic impact is about a football game and a half. It's about $18 to $20 million. It's huge. Attendance averages are 100 to 120,000. The USGA loves mid-markets like this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Senior Open doesn't go in Chicago. It's like fifth on the sports page in the summertime, obviously. But in this area and the region, you know, we look to, and we already have gotten a lot of support. So anyway, we'll be obviously talking about this going in, but we're all excited about it. We already have the merchandise in shop. I'm modeling it right now. Got the logo developed, already selling the merchandise. Our hospitality sales are through the roof. The Notre Dame community is supporting us. The local community has stepped up. Again, everything's good at this point, so we're looking forward to it. June 24th through 30th of 19. So put that on your calendar, okay?
Well, Darren and I were discussing, we want to know what our roles are going to be with the
You'll have a role.
As your co-host of the show, you know, we have to have some kind of a dignitary position.
We're going to have one of the players probably sit with you all week. And somebody,
wow.
Not sure who, somebody that misses the cut.
Just somewhere air conditioning where there's free refreshments.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of those venues there.
Actually, we kind of assumed we'd be taking over the hosting duties from you because you're going to be obviously playing. That's been your
that's
goal
true.
Is to play in a U.S. Senior
he'd
Open.
He'd be the first pro to play.
Oh, see, another first! Get him out on the golf course today, Tim. The road to the U.S. Senior Open begins today.
Nope. Sorry, guys. I'd be a super senior by then.
Wait a minute. Let me look at something.
Yeah. Ready couples?
I mean, Sandy Lyle shot 77-83 at the Masters. So,
and Larry Mize made the cut at 58 years
old.
He did.
Yeah.
And Freddie Couples is just doing his Freddie Couple things at Augusta. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
77-83 is doable.
Yeah.
Tim's rubbing his eyes.
There are no.
Glad this is a radio show.
There are no special exemptions or anything the USGA doesn't grant. Like you get at the Symmetry, you get to have an exemption here or there. That
I tried to get you in, but they wouldn't go.
Yeah,
for
really?
Us. Yeah.
Well, I've actually talked to Scott Gumpf about it's time to get the sticks out,
That'd be cool.
I think Scott will probably go for it.
Is there going to be a local qualifier? How's that going to work?
It won't be. They usually do one per state. You know, we did it a couple years ago. No idea. I know we wouldn't be the qualifying site since we're going to host, but. Like this year, the closest one's in Chicago, I think. But next year we hope to host a senior open qualifier again. So
cool.
Yeah.
Golf show here on WSBT Radio. John Foster, Tim Firestone, Darren Pritchett with you talking about the U.S. Senior Open Championship coming to Warren in 2019. Outside of changes on the golf course, let's push that aside and we can talk about that in the coming weeks. But for the local golfer, is there going to be something about the Warren property that will change with the U.S. Senior Open Championship coming?
The whole routing is changing. We're not going to be playing the succession of holes you currently see now. That was done for a couple of reasons. One was, if anybody that knows the last three holes on the golf course, 16, 17, 18, it's a rather confined space there. And there's not a lot of room. And traditionally, that's where you put all the hospitality structures. So in order to accommodate more hospitality, as well as moving spectators. Those are not good holes for moving spectators. There's just not a lot of room. So we flipped to the point where our back nine, current back nine, will be the championship front nine. And then you move to our current seventh hole as the 10th, and you play 7, 8, 9, the little triangle there. And then you move to the first hole for the last six holes. So our sixth hole will be 18. And it sets up for a really cool finish. There's lots of room there, too, for structures. But so you got the little postage stamp par 3 is 16.
Wow.
A two-shot par 5 is 17. And they're going to play 18 at 475, the par 4, all the way back.
Wow.
Now, the flip side of that is the start. So our 10th hole, which will be 480, will be a par 4. They're going to play the par 3, number 11, at 240.
Jeez.
And then you move over to the 450-yard par 4, 12. So I figure 12th is going to be near the parking. So there's going to be some players just say, come on, grab my clubs. We're going to the parking lot after those first three holes. Yeah.
So number 10 will play as number 1 with the par 4 front left. That is going to be a heck of a start.
Yeah, I mean, you look at those three holes, which are, you know, really difficult holes. And the one thing that they made clear, they're going to tip it out. They're going to play it over 7,000 yards. And if you've ever seen these guys play, which we all have, that's not too much for them. They still hit it a mile. So.
Yeah, Freddie's doing okay right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Keeping it up there with the big boys. So.
Yeah. Well, so anyway,
Well, Tim, for you, with the USGA coming to Warren, that's going to be also beneficial to your golf course.
Good.
As your golf course now will have more people wanting to come out and play because there's just one less championship golf course that's going to be available during that time frame.
The plan is we'll be closed to the carts 3 weeks early and general play at least 2 weeks early.
Well, that's not bad at all.
No, they were a little more liberal with that than I thought. And they understand that, especially with a non-private club, that we're dependent upon revenues and stuff. So we're going to, you know, do our best to stay open as long as possible. We don't want to have the golf course in shape to the point where it looks like we've allowed too much play. So we're going to be very careful about it.
You can make people take those mats out when they play.
Yeah, exactly.
They did that at the Ryder Cup this year.
Yeah,
they had a friend. They had to bring out the carpet.
There you go.
Yeah, trying to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do that or not. It's an idea.
Well, if we're just going to throw out ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a barbershop conversation. We're trying to help you.
I understand that, yeah.
But you should maybe think about doing what they do at Augusta National the Monday after the championship.
No, that's part of the hospitality package, is having that for the hospitality buyers. It's an outing, playing the holes with the routing in the same hole locations and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, that's somebody not what the
beat you to
does.
That. So, yeah, we're a lot like, yeah, it'll
no,
be a lot
the Masters,
like
the volunteers. It's a media.
Our media?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's media.
Yeah, well, that ain't happening here. Unless SBT would like to step up for a huge hospitality pavilion, then we can talk.
Where will the media center be?
We're still working on that. It will probably be housed in the varsity indoor facility.
Okay.
Oh, because I've got that one area, the 5,000 square feet putting green, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it. They're expecting 500 credentialed media members. That's what the normal.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big
deal.
That's
interesting because we've been around the senior PGA championship for many years.
Totally different.
I don't think they have 100, do they?
No, it's a different.
That room's usually pretty empty when we're in there.
And it's been one of our issues in trying to sell this championship. People say, oh, yeah, I've been to that. It's up in Benton Harbor. Well, there's some of the similar players will be playing, the same players. The USGA approaches their championships totally different. Yeah. There'll be no sponsors. It's all, you know, driven by hospitality, ticket sales, whereas the PGA model is let's find a corporate sponsor. They can have it wherever they want, basically. And the PGA, I don't want to say they walk away from it, but they don't devote a whole lot of resources. I mean, we'll have 50 to 100 USGA representatives here when this goes on. It's just totally different. The crowds are 10 to 12 times what it is for a PGA. So anyway,
The USGA is very similar to Notre Dame.
They are.
No sponsors.
It's
you know,
that's what
very similar.
One of the things that brought us together was kind of partnering these iconic brands together. And, it's like, you know, no advertisement here, no advertisement there. The USGA is very similar. We're looking forward to that. But, all in all, it's going to be a totally different experience. The players, the USGA approaches this like, okay, these players have all played in the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
This is their U.S. Open. We want to conduct this as you would conduct a U.S. Open. And so the standards are the same. that we have to adhere to. 2,500 volunteers are required for this. We were required to hire a management company, which is already on site.
Wow.
You know, it's just a whole different kettle of fish, so to speak. So it'll be good for everybody.
It's going to take a lot of preparation.
It is.
It'll get here, and it'll be over.
I know.
Just like that.
I know. And then you're dependent on 4 days of weather forecast, you know, after all this work. And
so I'm assuming you're going to have a three-week vacation as soon as the U.S. Senior Open Championship is complete.
That's for sure. I'm not going to walk to the 18th green after the and drop my keys in the cup. Instead of a mic drop, it'll be key drop. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great news, and we'll be talking about this for many, many months leading up to 2019.
You'll get sick of me, I'm sure.
No, it's exciting news. Hey, you guys both have brought professional golf tournaments to our area, and that's very, very special. I can't imagine there are too many areas in the country that have two professional golf tournaments within a couple of miles of each other.
Not in this side of the market.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
That's very true, too. Yeah. Well, let's just spend a couple of moments, just an update on your golf courses, where you stand, driving ranges, open play, those type of things. So let's just kind of set the stage because, hey, it's going to be beautiful this weekend. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses not to get out and play a little golf. Tim, let's start with you at Blackthorn.
Well, we spent a really bizarre spring. We opened earlier than we ever opened. I thought I had won the lottery with the February revenue that we did, and then we gave it all back in March. And then April's kind of started off a little spotty, too. Yeah. But the golf course is actually in unbelievable condition. Mm-hmm. We did, we probably took out 30 or 40 trees. Mm-hmm. Probably the one that's most noticeable, we redesigned the 18th green complex where we took the tree out that was on the left side of that green between the pond and that. Just that green wasn't getting enough sunlight.
Is that a willow tree that sat there?
I don't remember what kind of tree it was.
I remember that was...
But it was a big tree, and it took up a lot of things. We never could get that back left portion of the green healthy. So we took that out, and to John, we were talking off air, we're taking the bluegrass out, and we'll have bent that'll roll all the way down to the pond. So if you miss left.
Mm-hmm. That's
like number 12 at Augusta.
Yeah,
exactly.
Rolls right in.
Excited about that. And then 16, we took out a bunch more trees again, just trying to get better circulation, ventilation, sunlight to those greens and get them healthier. I think it's kind of a theme throughout America, to be honest. I know some people don't like seeing trees being taken out, but it really helps with the turf condition when you get the right amount of sunlight and ventilation.
You know, people lose sight of Oakmont's the best example I've heard. When Oakmont was built, you look at the pictures, there were no trees at Oakmont. And 80 years later, it's like it's a different golf course. And they clear cut everything at Oakmont. And it's really restored it back to where it was. And Tim, in your case, Blackthorn's been open 22 years?
22 years, yeah.
Trees grow. And we've even found, I mean, we're only 16 years old, 17 years old. But we have to undergo a lot of tree trimming this year and some removal just because of how it's encroached into the playing areas and stuff. So, you know, golf courses are living organisms, and it's a constant struggle to keep them, you know, the playability up. But I think that's really a good move because those two greens have struggled just because of shade factors and stuff. And it'll be night and day difference. So.
It's funny you talk about how long you've been in existence. Mm-hmm. I arrived the first year, and one of the first people I ever had the chance to meet was Ben Crenshaw. I'm like, man, this is a cool market.
It's a great job, isn't it?
Ben Crenshaw, you walk in the room, Ben was by himself, and he just started a conversation. Yeah. Just absolutely a great guy.
No, he is. Great guy.
Fantastic. So with you at Notre Dame Warren John, open play, ready to roll?
You know, it's as Tim said, it's been a really wet spring, and we have a number of course projects that are ongoing. However, we're staging them such that it won't, you know, interfere with play. It shouldn't inconvenience our players. And, our course came through the winter beautifully. And our driving range, it's so wet. We had to close it because every ball that was being hit was plugging. And so anyway, it's open again today, but we're rebuilding the driving range this fall. It'll be a complete redo. We're adding 50% tee space. We're actually making the landing areas more visible. We're draining them, new target greens. I mean, it's just part of this whole deal. It wasn't something the USGA said we had to do. It's something that this Mr. Warren was willing to invest in these projects for the Senior Open, but also knew we'd reap the benefit of it down the line. So there's a lot of that stuff going on. But no, we're open for play. We're looking forward to it, as Tim is. We've had a really frustrating start to the season so far.
with all the coverage of the practice range at Augusta National, the Golf Channel and CBS Sports Network both have coverage going on at the same time. I learned something. I didn't know that on their practice range, for example, they have the number two green with the bunkers exactly the way it is on the golf course.
I didn't realize that.
I mean, I know John's
been
there.
But it wasn't there. Their driving range when I played down there was substandard. They had a big fence out there, a big screen, so you didn't go out onto Washington Road. It was out there about 260 or so. Oh. There were very few target greens and stuff. So that was they bought some land, acquired that, and built that, I think it was 8-9 years ago. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Pretty
it's
interesting.
Nice range.
All right. So we'll get to the Masters next because we've got a very interesting leaderboard right now. I was just listening to CBS Sports Radio before you guys came in studio. Sergio's engaged, and the woman that he is marrying is related to Drew Brees, and it's a football family, and he has learned a little bit more about the mental side of playing golf from that family. So is it paying off right now? -4, tied for the lead.
We'll see. Saturdays have always been his Achilles heel.
Maybe she's helped his putting a little bit. Who knows?
Well, I heard the same thing as I was coming in about, you know, his family life or his personal life seems to be in order, and that does transfer to the playing field regardless of what sport you're talking about. So who knows? I wish he'd win.
I really do.
I like the guy. I've heard some stories from Scott Gump, for instance, about he said that when he was playing in the Masters the first time, you know, Christy, his wife, was sitting there having breakfast by herself in the clubhouse, and Sergio came and sat with her and said, you know, there's no way you should sit and have breakfast by yourself. And said he'd spent a long time with her.
No kidding.
The players really like the guy.
Yeah, the media likes him, too.
The media likes him. He's made some unfortunate comments over that. He's a bit of a whiner. He was, you know, and so I think they got on him. And then the Tiger thing. He had this little thing with Tiger and stuff. But the more I've heard anecdotally about him, the more I kind of like the guy. So
well, the waggling
Beth
Page was not good.
And you know what? If it were anybody else, and had he not had a reputation for whining, I'm not so sure they would have ridden the guy that hard. But boy, but he changed it. He adapted.
If it's Phil Mickelson or Ricky Fowler doing that,
that's right.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But Sergio put a target on his back.
He sure did.
And boy, did the New York fans have their day. We'll talk about the Masters next. We've got John Foster, Tim Firestone, Darren Pritchett with you. The Golf Show presented by Blackthorn Golf Club and Warren Golf Course on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. It is 8:34 on this Saturday morning. The Golf Show live on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presented by Blackthorn Golf Club and the Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. I'm Darren Pritchett with John Foster. He is the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren. Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn Golf Club. We're talking Masters in this segment, the first major of the year in men's professional golf. Augusta National down in Georgia, and boy, day number one, if you played in the afternoon, you had your hands full. Extremely windy conditions, 30-mile-an-hour gusts, and can someone explain to me how Charlie Hoffman shot a 7-under par 65 in those conditions, including, 30 or 31 on the backside?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best rounds in a major. Yeah. He was like 10 shots better than the course average. I mean, unbelievable. That's golf, though. You get some of those magical get in the zone. And he should have made the putt on 18. Yeah. I don't know how it didn't go in.
And yesterday, the wind wasn't as bad, it didn't seem like, in the afternoon. But yet some scores early. Sergio Garcia, 69. Thomas Peters, a Belgian, very good-looking player, a 68. Ricky Fowler, 67. So the numbers are out there. And we enter the weekend with a four-way tie for first place. 4-under par is the lead. Charlie Hoffman, Thomas Peters, Ricky Fowler, and Sergio Garcia. Yesterday marked the 100th round of golf for Ricky Fowler in a major. And it marks the first time after a round he's at least tied for the lead.
Yeah, I heard that. You would think he would have been
Really?
Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, top he finished five. The top five in every single major.
Yeah.
But he did not lead
at the end of a round. He's been in first place, but never at the end of the day.
Interesting. I'm rooting for him. I think he's a good
guy. Oh, yeah. There's really nobody I'm rooting against. You know how you sometimes get people God, I hope he doesn't win.
Right.
It's not the case.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe I'm just mellowing in my old age.
Well, you have mellowed a lot, John.
I have, haven't I?
That's definitely true.
I'm not nearly as hateful as I used to be.
I will admit, I'm like you guys. I usually don't root against people, but after the last couple of years of the golf show, I think Tim and I rooted against a particular Swede every couple of times.
That's right.
Well, I've kicked him to the curb. Yeah, he's just not producing for
the
me.
The German
anymore.
And the Swede that yeah, John was exactly. on that bag.
Keimer and
Yeltsin?
No, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They're done. Well, yeah. As you look at the way things stand right now, plus six made the cut. Jason Day was the last player to make the cut, and he'll go out by himself. He'll start at 10:20 this morning.
And he'll finish about 11:20.
Yeah, he'll be done quickly.
He's struggling this year.
Yeah, he is. He's got issues, I mean, with his mother.
Yeah, it's tough mentally.
Yeah.
So as you look at the leaderboard right now, plus six got in. Is there a number that's out of the tournament right now? Or is this one of those fields where basically, you have about 50-plus players still in the tournament, and everybody still has a realistic chance. Is there a cutoff point for you?
I think you have three to
yeah,
four over.
Six or seven shots.
That's come from six back.
You've got to have help, obviously.
Good, so.
The four-under guys have to move back towards you. But
I don't see that happening.
No, I don't know. Like you said, Tim, the conditions are supposed to be really, really good, which means the green speed will be a little bit higher.
Yeah.
You know, what Spieth was talking last night, he expects they'll be about a foot quicker, you know, which they already were pretty fast. So, I don't know, Darren. I think six or seven shots. There's still a lot of people in the field.
So, what's the winning score going to be? Give me a 2-3 shot range. Is it 7-8 under par? Can we get that high with the conditions getting better?
17, did you say?
Seven or eight.
Oh, that's what I think, yeah. I'd say seven or eight,
Well, you look at Charlie Hoffman, he's never won a major. Sergio Garcia, never won a major.
Right.
He's got that label, probably the best player without a major. Thomas Peters from Belgium, he won an NCAA championship at Illinois, won that at Riviera, and he was really good in the Ryder Cup, guys.
Yeah, he was dominant.
He was very, very impressive, big kid. And then you got Ricky Fowler, who has never won a major. Right. So out of those four, who do you think has the best chance to put on the green jacket? Who would be your pick out of those four?
Probably Sergio, I would think.
I think
although
so.
Although Charlie Hoffman, if you guys remember, he played in the final group at the Masters with Spieth two years ago.
He's a really good player.
He's solid. Yeah.
I mean, he's boring to watch.
He's cut his hair, too.
Yeah, he did.
He had the flowing locks going there for a little while.
This is a better look for Charlie.
Charlie cut his hair off in the back, and Fowler cut his off in the front, and everybody looks a lot better.
Well, Fowler losing a mustache was a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
That really wasn't a good look.
Yeah, that's just not good. I tell you what, we were done with the show when the Ryder Cup took place, but when the United States won and they had that celebratory picture with all the wives and everybody's kissing, except Ricky is in the middle with no one and just smiling like, well, you know.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for Ricky, but
yeah, I think his social life is probably pretty good at this particular moment. Yeah. Willie McGirt. 2 under par, 2 out of the lead shot, 69 in round 1, 73 in the second round. He's just been one of those guys that kept fighting and battling and won a tournament, at 37, and now in contention right now in his first trip to Augusta National. But I think what's interesting is the guys at minus 1 and even. There's some really good stories here. No disrespect to Hoffman, Garcia, Peters, and Fowler, but look at the guys at 1 under and even. At 1 under par, you've got Ryan Moore. You've got Jon Rahm, the phenom from this year. What, from Germany, played at Arizona State. Mickelson's brother is his agent.
Spain.
Spain.
Yeah.
Thank you. So he's been a big success early on in his first go-around. Then you got Freddie Couples at 56 when his back is up to it, and he plays at Augusta National. He always plays well. And then you got Justin Rose, a former U.S. Open champion at minus one. And then look at the three guys at even. You got Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, and Phil Mickelson.
And so, Jordan Spieth made a quadruple bogey on Thursday. Otherwise, he's
being
tied for the lead on an easy par five. Well, it wasn't easy that day, but
I tell you what, though, I watched Adam Scott a bit. His putting is horrendous.
It's like the putter's not
He never releases it. He holds the face open, and everything goes right. It's hard to watch.
He like waves at it. It's,
yeah, so I would say he's got no chance.
And, of course, he's the guy that used the long putter that was up against his chest.
Yeah, he anchored it.
Anchored it. Thank you. And that's been eliminated, so now it's back to...
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember seeing him putt this bad, though, because I think he came off the anchor thing putting fairly well for a while. But, boy, yesterday he missed like three or four putts within like 3 feet.
Yeah, he looked baffled.
Yeah, he did.
It's like, what am I doing out here? But he's still right there?
Yeah.
Still has a great chance. Couple shot 73-70. In an interview yesterday, he said, for whatever reason, he putts better at Augusta National compared to anywhere else. And that may have a lot to do with knowledge. Knowledge is so important at this golf course.
It's confidence. I mean, the guy's played so well there. You know, he just, he knows he's going to make putts. He hits every green. I mean, he still didn't putt great. If you look, I mean, he had 34 putts on Thursday.
I know.
Shot 73. Think about that.
He made a great comment yesterday. They were showing the replay when they're interviewing him, I think. And he chipped it to like 2 feet. And he goes, that's really good for me.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Because he does have a history of not being really good with the wedge around the green. So at least he's honest.
Well, I saw him at the senior PGA a couple of years ago, and he just didn't seem overly interested.
No, he wasn't, I don't think.
Just kind of, I'm here.
He's been playing a little bit more. You know, he played some senior events this year, which he said he's going to. But I think the reason he's disinterested somewhat in the Tour Champion stuff, he knows he can still play with the big boys.
I know, at 58 years
old. Yeah, exactly. I don't think he looks at that as... You know, a big boy tour for him, but because he hits it so well. Still.
And he doesn't need the easy checks.
Well, that's the other reason a lot of these guys play. Sure.
Can't blame him.
No.
Can't blame him.
A shocker, though, Angel Cabrera did not make the cut.
Another
guy that plays.
Oh, he was, what, 12 over or something? 13 over? Yeah, former champion.
Well, poor caddy caught an earful. When he's not playing well, man, he chirps. Yeah. But he's fun to watch. And there was an incident with Bubba Watson, too, at the media. I have not heard the comments. And then he tried to apologize online, and that didn't go well. Right. And
he made a comment about golf is hard, writing stories are easy. Something like that. The media.
Well, it's true.
Coming from a guy using a pink golf ball now.
Goodness gracious.
Bubba. He's lost like 25 pounds. He's just something.
Really?
Yeah, he looks... I don't know. He's not playing well either.
No.
It's just a shame. He would be very likable, more likable, but he kind of has that Colin Montgomery aura about him that he says something every once in a while or he yells at his caddy, and just people get turned off by him. Yeah. It's a shame because here's a guy that bombs it. He's colorful. I mean, he's got a pink driver, pink golf ball, but it just sometimes he gets in his own way, unfortunately.
So let me ask you guys one question before we get off the topic of the Masters. What really happened to Dustin Johnson? There's no way that he just falls down the stairs.
I don't know. I mean,
there's got to be something.
History, everybody's like, okay, what really happened?
How much Grey Goose he had? Or what,
don't know.
I mean, holy cow. I mean, the guy was, he was going to win. I mean,
there's no doubt. I mean, he's playing.
Be that good, hit it that far and that straight, and not win at Augusta.
Well, I've got a little tip for him about Augusta next year. One story. A one story home.
No, I remember
ranch.
Exactly, ranch.
I remember former Michigan quarterback Brian Griese fell downstairs and he blamed it on tripping over his dog.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I think Dustin said he had socks on a wood floor.
It could be. You know.
Again, there's a reputation, and when you have a reputation and something weird happens,
right,
leads to speculation.
They've been killing him on Twitter, I understand. Some really good comments about it, so.
I can only imagine.
It is a shame, though. I was really looking forward to seeing him play.
They're showing him walking to the, when he showed up, and he was going to try to play.
Oh, no, I saw him hitting balls on the range.
Yeah, and he's walking over to the trailer when he gets on the property to go get him, and they go, wow, he's walking really slowly. I'm like, that's why he walks every time. He's not, he's
never been in a hurry in his life.
Man. Anyway, too bad, though. I may or may not have participated in some master pools, and he was on my list.
Allegedly.
I'm prohibited from doing it. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
And then there's Phil Mickelson, 3-time champion. If he wins, he would be the oldest player to win a major. And he was at 3 under par after 13. And then just hit wayward shots, and he missed a couple of putts along the way. He staggered in with a 73, and he's still at even par, which is in really, really good shape. Oh, yeah. But he played extremely well the first day, and at times, I mean, he's been hitting the ball very, very good, but that putter has let him down once again. So what are his chances? Do you think the old 47-year-old has a chance?
I don't think age has got anything to do with
it. No, yeah, I think... Yeah, I think
he's never had a consistent round in majors. I mean, he hasn't. So for people to say, boy, if it wasn't for that hole, well, that's his whole career.
That's right.
Outside of the Open Championship, that final round was the perfect round of golf. 16, but other than that, I mean, it's been...
Roller coaster.
It has been.
He's as capable as anybody of winning.
And Rory McIlroy is at plus one. That's only five.
He's really been under the radar, hasn't he?
I know, it's weird. But he's got the firepower. He gets it going and gets the putter going. He could shoot 64-5 real quick.
Yep.
All right, so your pick, the winner is going to be?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I just hope next time you give us a printout, you can make the print a little bit smaller.
Foster forgot his cheaters.
Man, I need two
JT's
pair of
JT's got to have some here in the studio, doesn't he?
Let me check.
Yeah, they're more magnifying glass than, oh, goodness.
I'm going to pick Justin Rose. I just,
Yeah?
Well, he's got everything else. You need a highlighter? We got a highlighter here.
You know, I this...
Him and Digger?
This is so obvious, but Spieth.
Yeah.
He plays so well at that. I mean, this is his fourth Masters. First, second.
That's crazy.
That's not a coincidence.
With two quads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 12 and 15.
So I'd say Spieth.
All right. Spieth.
Yeah.
You?
Rose.
Okay. I'm going to go with Peters.
There you go.
I'm going to go with the
little Illinois bias.
Going with the young gun. He just looked good in the Ryder Cup. The pressure did not get to him at all.
He was a captain's pick. I didn't realize that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's tough because you feel like you have to live up to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Masters today. And by the way, I tell you what, we'll take a break when we come back. We'll set the pairings because the pairings are phenomenal today. There's some really good pairings, including I think the 2-10 pairing will be probably on your TV more than the leaders. And I'll explain why in a moment as the golf show continues, presented by Blackthorn Golf Club and Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. The golf show continues on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, you want us to do a show or something?
You're getting emotional.
This was pretty important stuff.
Saturday morning coffee time.
Yeah, I haven't seen Tim since our last show.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
I just figure you guys would run into each other all the time.
No, he runs in a totally different circle than I do.
John's at the bingo hall.
Yeah, I'm bingo. I have to eat by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Tim's just getting up about the time I'm having the old early bird. So, our paths haven't crossed.
B47. I can hear John yelling bingo. Or not getting the right number. I'm imagining what he's saying. Anyway, I promised a look at the pairings today for the Masters, and we have some good pairings. We'll start with the latest at 3 o'clock. It's Charlie Hoffman and Sergio Garcia. Second to last is Thomas Peters and Ricky Fowler. Then you've got kind of the pairing of Willie McGirt and Ryan Moore. But then it gets good. At 2:30, it's John Rahm and Freddie Couples. So that's going to be a fun pairing.
Yeah.
At 2:20, Justin Rose and Adam Scott. That's fun. And then, this is the one that you'll probably see on your screen the most today, barring someone just getting red hot. At 2:10, you get Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson.
And the Masters can't change it. This is how they finish.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, the first day, they obviously can do it.
Right.
But that's it. Wow.
As a fan of both, I don't remember them playing together.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't recall in a major. I'm sure there have been.
I'm sure they have. They've had to have, but yes.
I'm sure they have a little side action on the round today, which I understand Phil's gotten himself into another situation, right?
Yeah. Well, and the guy that Walters, that he was in the trading thing with, was convicted yesterday of all counts.
There you
of
go.
Insider trading. So.
You know, it's bad enough to be a gambler, but when you're a bad gambler, it's even worse. So, Phil's playing for a totally different reason. Needs a check.
Well, at 2:00, you have Matt Kuchar and Roy McIlroy. And just skipping ahead to 1:40, you got Matsuyama and Keimer, which is good. And I'll leave you at 1:20, Ernie Els and Jason Duffner. Boy, there will be a lot of excitement in that group, will there? It'll be like Foster playing bingo, kind of, you know?
Gosh.
So that's the way it lines up today.
Good pairings, you're right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah, so hit that old DVR button, and after you get done playing golf today, you've got your evening set.
Yeah, and after you're around, we do have televisions in the clubhouse, right?
That you can watch. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Masters
and it'll be on golf today.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no NASCAR.
That's right. You can have a beverage.
That's right.
Yes, you can.
Very good. All right, we'll take our final break, and we'll let you guys do what you love doing more than anything else. Telling the folks what's coming up. And I have John's by heart after these last 6 years.
I may mix it up a little bit.
I look forward to that.
It's only been 6 years. I thought it was more than that.
Wow.
I just guessed six years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I blocked it out, but I think
we've lost track.
As far as you know, you look exactly the same.
We're still the number one golf show in Michigan.
We are.
And the number one golf show will take a break. Back in a moment here on WSBT. The Golf Show on WSBT Radio, presented by Blackthorn Golf Club. Right now, the Blackthorn card is only $99 and only at blackthorngolf.com. And by Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, tee it up where the Irish play. The host of the 2019 U.S. Senior Open Championship, the Warren Golf Course. Tim Firestone, what's happening at Blackthorn?
Golf course is open, blackthorngolf.com, 232-4653 for your tee times. Got great weather, stretch of weather here. Come on out and play.
Drum roll, please. Here's what's coming up at Notre Dame's Warren, John Foster.
Yeah, you know what? I couldn't come up with anything different. It's just, you know, we're open.
Open play.
We're open play.
It's open play.
And it's warrengolfcourse.com, 631-GOLF. Come see us.
Next week, I want something that will dazzle everyone.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You have seven days.
It's a tight schedule, but I'll try to work something up.
Enjoyed it, guys. Enjoy the golf this weekend, folks. Beautiful weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
For Tim and John, I'm Darren. This is The Golf Show on WSBT South Bend.